Chapter 32.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
He wasn't excited. There was no reason for Quinlan to be excited returning to the temple after months away, with no in-person contact with his friends and the weird lack of messages from Obi-Wan. He was just energized. He was so energized by the thought of returning that he was the epitome of Jedi peace and serenity. The gaze of Tholm on his quivering form where they sat at the back of the transport felt, for some reason, very judgmental. At the gentle poke over their bond, Quinlan sheepishly tried to release some of his excitement to the Force, an endeavor that was only mildly successful, given the way his atmo-clearing vibrating calmed to a restless jiggling of his knee. He sent Tholm a sheepish grin, which the scarred master met with a raised eyebrow on his stern face. To anyone else, it would have appeared chiding, but Quinlan could read the amused tilt to Tholm's lips, and knew his exuberance would be tolerated. At least until the first time a council member got caught up in one of Quinlan's pranks and complained about him to his master. But that was for future Quinlan to deal with, and present Quinlan was ripped away from his thoughts by the shudder of the transport around them as it entered Coruscant's atmosphere. His vibrating returned with a vengeance. At his side, he heard Tholm huff a laugh and shake his head at his antics, but all Quinlan could think of was seeing Obi-Wan. He knew his friend was in temple from a quick check of the mission schedule, that he definitely had access to and didn't have to slice, to see if he would miss Obi-Wan because their schedules never matched up, even though Quinlan was aware they would be required to give a quick standing report to the council before being released into the temple properly. He was already thinking of where Obi-Wan would be in order to track him down. By the time the transport landed, Quinlan was almost 90% sure Obi-Wan would be in the gardens, either there or the archives like the nerd Quinlan knew he was. He followed Tholm out of the transport at the rear of the crowd, Pax bouncing against his back as he skipped toward the temple entrance. A temple guard nodded at them as they passed, and Tholm settled a hand on his shoulder, grip firm, grounding him physically to the duties they had to complete first. Quinlan let out a sigh as the warmth of the temple washed over him, letting his master guide him to the nearest lift that would bring them to the council chambers. After a short wait, the Padawan on duty waved them through, and Quinlan rolled his shoulders as he took the customary half-step back and to the right of his master, bowing in unison with Tholm to the counselors present. It was only a half-council today, which was hardly surprising, but the members present did surprise him. Master Koff questioned Tholm, his master answering in his familiar baritone, outlining a bare summary of their mission. As per usual, this first meeting was more of a personal check-in with the council than anything else, as they had each submitted reports monthly. Their final report would be completed after this session, and any outstanding questions from the council would be answered in a longer meeting if necessary. From her seat, Master Yaddle gave Quinlan an easy smile that he returned before she turned back to ask Tholm a question. At her sides, Masters Mundi and Peel listened intently. Master Sifo-Dyas looked like shit. Quinlan held back a wince of sympathy at the dark circles under the master's eyes and the hazy way he was looking at Master Tholm. Everyone knew that Sifo-Dyas had cycles of terrible visions, but Quinlan had never seen the man look this bad before. Out of something to the left of pity, Quinlan turned his gaze from Master Sifo-Dyas to Master Yoda. Wrinkly with age, large ears drooping around his frame, knobbly hands clutching at his gimmer stick, the Grand Master of the Jedi Order sat in his council chair, sulking. Quinlan couldn't believe his eyes. He left for almost 10 months and comes back to Master Yoda, second oldest member of the Order, sulking in a council session. Master Koth's voice snapped Quinlan's incredulous attention back to the council at large, and he beamed at the man before taking up his own summary. As he reported, he could tell that Tholm was taking in the sight of Yoda and his attitude. Impulsively, Quinlan sent a quiet burst of confusion uncertainty down their bond, which Tholm responded to with an equally quiet, later Padawan. Regardless of the strange tension in the council room, their report ended as expected. What was not normal was Master Yaddle smiling at them again before she said, "To the healers, you will go." Quinlan watched Tholme raise an eyebrow. "We are not injured, counselors, as reported." "Hmm." Yaddle tapped her claws together. "New mandate, it is. Report to the healers, you will, and tell us, they shall, of you and your Padawan's health. Important to the order, it is." He felt Tholme about to argue when there was a faint ripple from the direction of one of his pear bonds. Quinlan watched from the corner of one eye as Tholme closed his mouth on whatever retort he was preparing, frown growing as his master nodded once. "Once we are done with the healers, are we free to go?" Master Koth nodded, bowing his head in farewell. Quinlan bowed with Tholme and followed his master out of the chamber. He waited until they were in an empty lift to roll onto his toes, leaning forward to catch Tholme's gaze where it was settled on the closed door. "So, that was weird, right?" Tholme hummed noncommittally. Quinlan stared at him unblinking, poking him down their bond impatiently. He got another unimpressed eyebrow for that. "Master," he groaned. Rolling his eyes, Tholme shoved him out of the lift once the doors opened, heading in the direction of the Halls of Healing. He called over his shoulder, "I imagine we'll hear of why sooner or later, Padawan." Huffing at his master, Quinlan trailed him into the halls, biting back a scowl when they were ushered by a night healer he didn't recognize into separate rooms. At that, he raised an eyebrow, brushing a wary acknowledgement against Tholme when he immediately opened their bond in concern. It was a short checkup, with the night healer keeping up idle chit-chat that subtly inquired as to his health and comfort with his master. If he were anyone else, with any other master, Quinlan imagined that he wouldn't notice what the line of questioning implied. What in the world had happened for returning Master Padawan pairs to be treated like this by the healers? Shortly after being issued a clean bill of health, Quinlan slipped from the exam room as best as he could with their travel bags, tucking himself uneasily against Tholme's side, where he had been waiting for him by the doors. Without a word, the two of them turned and left the halls. The entire walk back to their quarters was silent, their only communication being absent-minded brushes along their bond, and Quinlan couldn't help but notice the frown marring Tholme's face. It certainly helped clear the path to their rooms. Even once they had entered the safety of their rooms, the door hissing shut behind Quinlan, he couldn't shake the strange tension that was settled over the Jedi they had passed in the halls. Something big must have happened for it to send the entire temple into a tizzy. "Feet on the ground?" Quinlan asked once he had put their packs in their respective rooms and returned to the sight of Tholme standing in the middle of their living room, scowling. Tholme looked up at him and nodded. "I'll check with my own people, although perhaps you might want to clean up first, Padawan." He pouted, but Quinlan couldn't exactly argue with that, considering how much dust he was covered in from the transport. After the fastest sonic of his life, Quinlan skipped through their living room, tying his tabards loosely. Tholme was already gone, likely to try and flirt loose some gossip from Master Saw, Quinlan thought with a smirk and mental salute across their bond. Tholme immediately sent a burst of exasperation amusement before closing their bond. He still left it more open than usual, and Quinlan smiled at the occasional pulses Tholme sent down their link as he started his way toward the Room of a Thousand Fountains. On his way, he passed several Jedi, in groups and alone, who were almost hesitantly making their own way to their business. It was strange to see so many Jedi impacted by this mystery event. One way or another, he and Tholme would get to the bottom of it, even if Quinlan had to hack into the temple systems to find out. Movement ahead of him had Quinlan ducking instinctually into an alcove, tucking himself into a dark corner and praying he wasn't noticed. He watched as a rather stressed-looking Master Windu stalked by, robes flaring wide as he strode past. Quinlan squinted at him. If he didn't know any better, he would say Windu looked worried, which wasn't exactly a reassuring thing to see on a counselor. Something to bring up to Tholme later, he supposed. Several beats after Windu had turned the corner, Quinlan slipped out from his hiding spot and continued on his way to the gardens. Small clusters of knights and padawans cluttered the entrance hall, datapads in hand as they worked on assignments or pleasure reading. Quinlan waved at one group of initiates that were sitting at the edge of one of the meditation ponds, laughing when they waved back enthusiastically. The idle chatter in the atrium faded away when Quinlan stepped into the first room, a quiet forestscape from the wilds of Deveren. Considering the vast maze of interconnected environments, Quinlan began to walk aimlessly, letting the force guide his steps deeper in. Through open plains, over babbling brooks and streams, under heavy drooping branches, Quinlan walked. Concern began to wind its way between his ribs the deeper he went, curling around his lungs and squeezing until he was almost running through the different rooms. Obi-Wan never went this far into the gardens. He always stayed in the inner ring so he could have small breaks between classes, but never far enough that one of their friends couldn't find him quickly. Quinlan had no idea why Obi-Wan would venture this far, but anxiety roiled in his gut as he took all the puzzle pieces he had found on his return to the temple and began to put them together. Stressed masters, newly mandated health checks for the Padawans returning from missions, sulking Yoda, the vague intrigue and gossip from the Jedi in the halls. Not a single message from Obi-Wan the entire time he was gone. Even as he leapt over another stream with a force-assisted leap, Quinlan couldn't help but growl. Jin. The man must have done something, and done something massive again for things to get this bad. He needed to find Obi-Wan now. Apparently, the Force had been listening, because its pull began to lessen, and with it, Quinlan slowed his pace until he was walking soft-footed around a bend of rocks. Lying on his back at the base of a massive willow tree, datapad held above his face and robe bundled under his head as a pillow, was Obi-Wan. Quinlan took a long moment to just look at his friend. Idly, Obi-Wan scrolled on his datapad, legs crossed and bare feet wiggling in the gentle breeze. Quinlan saw his boots tucked neatly together a few feet away, another stack of datapads next to them, several others strewn around Obi-Wan in a semicircle, like he had been referencing several before getting distracted by the one he was currently engrossed in. From this distance, he couldn't see any new scars. Obi-Wan looked relaxed, about as relaxed as Quinlan had ever seen him before, and surprisingly well-fed. His Padawan braid was curled in the grass under his head. A new bead glimmered on the end. The Force was peaceful when Quinlan reached for it. Relief flooded him, and Quinlan sagged against the boulder to his side. Thank Criff, he thought, that this time he didn't have to see an empty shell of his friend trailing behind his bantha fucker of a master. Maybe, instead, Obi-Wan would know what was up with the council. With a smirk crawling its way across his face, Quinlan stepped away from the boulder and bounced toward Obi-Wan, making no effort to be obvious about his approach. There was no other warning but a blur of mass and color in the branches above his head before Quinlan was wheezing, ribs protesting his impact with the ground. Quinlan was a senior Padawan who had been on a rather active mission rotation his entire tenure with Tholm, so he immediately tried to roll away. Keyword being tried. He felt tiny little hands fist in the back of his robes before whoever it was threw him a good 10 feet away from the tree. Quinlan hit the ground again, this time on his back, the shove giving him enough momentum to flip around into a crouch, unlit saber snapping to his hand. Across from him, guarding a startled-looking Obi-Wan, was the smallest Padawan Quinlan had ever seen. The kid wore the usual beige tunic and leggings of Padawans, the hints of a cream undertunic making his pale face even paler. Dark hair, too dark to really tell the difference between black or brown, scraped back into a messy tail, and an unusually long Padawan braid for someone his age, with 4 colored beads. The same amount as Obi-Wan, and 2 less than Quinlan himself. And the kid was scarred. From where Quinlan crouched at the ready, he could see several scars on his face, as well as what looked like the circular pockmark from a close-range blaster on top of one bare foot. Shock slid languid down his spine at the serious set to the kid's face, pale eyes glaring at him, unblinking. And, unlike Quinlan, the kid had his lightsaber lit. A brilliant green, it hummed with ferocity, tingling against Quinlan's skin like a lightning storm in the Force. The kid held it in a reverse defensive grip, and on anyone else, it would have looked silly, an initiate playing at forms. On the kid, he held his lightsaber like a promise of violence. Quinlan loved him. He felt a grin spread across his lips, and whatever expression was on his face got Obi-Wan scrambling up from his shocked stupor, datapad still clenched in his hand when he stepped between Quinlan and the kid. The scowl on the kid's face only deepened when Obi-Wan moved in front of him, but he reluctantly turned his saber off, even if he didn't put it away. Finger pointing at him accusingly, Obi-Wan said, "Quinn, no," as if he was a particularly badly behaved massive. Gasping in offense, Quinlan set a hand to his chest and swooned dramatically. At Obi-Wan's snort, he tucked his lightsaber back onto his belt and stood eyeing the kid that Obi-Wan had edged slowly in front of. The kid snarled at him. He clasped his hands together and pressed them against his mouth in an attempt to keep the squeal in his chest from coming out. Given the way Obi-Wan winced, he didn't think he was successful. There must have been some movement from the kid, because Obi-Wan's face smoothed out into his "I must keep the peace between two morons" look, which Quinlan resented. He wasn't a moron. He passed Astronav on the first try, and poetry the second time. Morons couldn't do that. Datapad still in hand, Obi-Wan chanced a quick glance over his shoulder, like he didn't want to risk taking any attention off Quinlan. He grinned at the suspicion. "This is Quinlan Vos, a friend." Obi-Wan gave the kid a significant look. The kid curled his lip, but stood up uneasily behind him. "He's Master Tholme's Padawan and has apparently just returned from his mission. Quinlan?" Obi-Wan turned back to him, a small smile on his face. "This is John Antilles." Antilles bunny-punched Obi-Wan in the ribs, cutting off the rest of his introduction. Quinlan didn't miss how instead of returning his hand to his side, Antilles took a loose grip of Obi-Wan's tunic. In his head, Quinlan cooed. "Hello, I am indeed a friend of Obi-Wan's, and in fact," Quinlan leaned forward, waggling a finger in his direction. "We are brothers, miraculously born from different parents, and yet brothers all the same." Obi-Wan rolled his eyes. Antilles just glared at him harder. Overcome with emotion, Quinlan whimpered and shuffled forward. He whispered loudly, "Obi-Wan, where did you get him? I want one." Antilles bristled like a tuca, jostling Obi-Wan as he lunged for Quinlan. Eyes wide, Obi-Wan caught him around the waist and slung him back behind him, grip tight around his wrist to stop him from reigniting his lightsaber. This time, Quinlan couldn't stop the coo from breaking past his lips, which just made Antilles growl at him again. "Obi-Wan," he whined maturely. "I didn't get him anywhere, Quinlan, honestly. He came to the temple like anyone else." Obi-Wan shuffled the two of them back a step when Quinlan skipped closer. "He's so cute." This was apparently too much for little Antilles, because the kid practically threw himself over Obi-Wan's shoulder, trying to get to Quinlan. Obi-Wan overbalanced, stumbling back, and Quinlan watched with glee as Obi-Wan dropped Antilles, who landed on his feet like a cat, one hand outstretched to cushion Obi-Wan with the force as he fell. Pale eyes glared at him, and Antilles snarled, "I am not a pet." Oh, certainly not. This kid was more like a feral Nexu than a measly pet. Quinlan inched closer. Obi-Wan pointed at Quinlan again and snapped sharply, "Gloves, now!" and pushed himself up with a graceful twist that had Quinlan blinking in shock before he was once again standing between them. Pouting, Quinlan gave Obi-Wan his best puppy dog eyes. His friend simply crossed his arms and raised an unimpressed eyebrow. Huffing, Quinlan sagged, rolling his head back and groaning as he patted at the pouches on his waist, looking for his gloves. Once he found them, he flapped them in Obi-Wan's direction, getting a smile out of him as he pulled them on. "Are you happy now, muffling my divine talents from the world?" Quinlan grouched, throwing a wink at a very confused-looking Antilles. Obi-Wan muttered something very uncomplimentary under his breath that had Antilles giggling quietly. Almost immediately, the tense set to Obi-Wan's shoulders dropped and he turned to smile at Antilles brightly. "So, speaking of returning to the temple, do you know what's up with the new health checks?" The two of them blinked at him. "Huh?" Obi-Wan's eyebrows creased in confusion and he tilted his head to the side, consideringly. Antilles didn't say anything, just leaned against Obi-Wan's side and stared at Quinlan suspiciously. Quinlan nodded, rocking back onto his heels as he said casually, "Yeah, Tholm and I were forced to get a health check after our report. They separated us and everything." He shrugged. "It was weird, but whatever, you know." Obi-Wan sucked in a breath, eyes going wide, and he stared at Quinlan in disbelief before forcing himself to relax, ducking his head and rubbing a hand through his hair. "Yeah, sure is weird. No idea why they would do that." An awkward silence settled over them. Even Antilles looked disgusted with Obi-Wan's attempt to appear ignorant. But before Quinlan could say anything, Obi-Wan slumped in defeat, a massive sigh rushing out of him. Big blue eyes appeared at him through a fringe of red. "So, Quinlan?" Antilles pressed himself right up against Obi-Wan in apparent support, and Quinlan watched, eyebrow creeping up his forehead, as Obi-Wan leaned right back. I'm not Master Qui-Gon's Padawan anymore." Quinlan felt like his brain was full of static. He sputtered, outraged, too angry to form words at the thought of Jyn abandoning Obi-Wan again. His murderous intent toward Jyn was clearly apparent, given the way Obi-Wan began waving his hands. Antilles looked approving, if amused by his reaction. His brain and mouth reconnected. "Again?" Obi-Wan winced, wringing his hands nervously. "Well, yes, but I have a master, a new one. I mean, he's not new, but he is for me, so..." He broke off when Quinlan put his hands on his shoulders. Ignoring the way Antilles was considering his gloves, Quinlan gently shook Obi-Wan. "You have a master?" he asked. "Yes," Obi-Wan said, nodding. "Who?" Obi-Wan bit his lip. "Master Koon." For the second time in as many minutes, Quinlan felt his brain restart. He opened his mouth. He closed it. Antilles gave him a very scornful look as he proceeded to act like a fish out of water for several seconds. "Actually," he said, "fuck this." And with that, he lunged forward, throwing a suddenly screaming Obi-Wan over his shoulder and tucking a very angry Antilles under his arm. He had barely made it past the neighboring room when there was a white-hot flash of pain in his forearm and he cursed. Ignoring the way Obi-Wan swatted at his head, he instead picked up his pace the best he could as Antilles squirmed vigorously. Blood trickled warmly down his arm and into his glove from where the kid had bitten him. Luckily, the path out of the gardens into Tholm's quarters was pretty empty. Although that may have been because of the vicious Mon Cal that was pouring from Obi-Wan's mouth and echoing down the halls. It was actually pretty impressive. So was the way Antilles had tried turning into liquid to escape his hold as he marched them down the halls, but Quinlan had done more than his fair share of babysitting in the creche. Even though the creshlings never bit him this hard, Antilles would have to get a lot more aggressive to have a chance of escaping. Arms full of snarling Padawans, Quinlan felt he was entirely justified using the Force to open the door to their quarters. The resigned look on his master's face felt equally justified, given the way that once the door was open, Antilles thrashed hard enough Quinlan lost his grip. He was forced to catch him by the back of the tunics, hitching him up against his chest to see the living room. Antilles blinked at the sight of Tholm on the couch, with both hands over his face, Master Saw patting him on the back condescendingly from where she sat next to him. Obi-Wan was still cursing Quinlan over his shoulder. Tilting his head, Antilles licked the blood from his lips and nodded politely at Master Saw. "Hello, Grandmaster." Her laughter was drowned out by the sound of Quinlan shrieking, "What?" quickly followed by his shout of pain as Obi-Wan, taking offense to being dropped in his surprise, punched him in the ankle hard enough he buckled to the ground, howling. Antilles landed lightly on his feet and bowed to Master Tholm, who had straightened quickly enough that his neck cracked audibly. Still laughing, Master Saw motioned Antilles over, and he went easily, settling at her side as she chuckled. She pulled out a handkerchief from a pocket and held Antilles still by the chin, wiping off the remainder of the blood. The smug look Antilles sent Quinlan had him gaping from the floor. Obi-Wan pushed off the ground, hissed at Quinlan, and then crossed the room to sit on the other side of Antilles, crossing his arms in a huff. Master Saw lifted a hand to cover her smile. She turned to Tholm and said, smirking, "Why don't you start a pot of tea for the boys, End of chapter 32.